Good morning. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. And I don't know how many of us were awake this morning when a little shake came our way. Did y'all feel the earthquake this morning? A few of us did. As we are joining into worship this morning, I was thinking about that earthquake. And a few years ago, I had the opportunity, I went back to Japan to help out after the tsunami. And we had found this house in the middle of this disaster zone that we kind of gutted out. We used as our headquarters, and we were meeting there, gathering, trying to go out into work in the community. And one Sunday morning, a big one hit. I think I saw a news flash this morning that it was a 5.1 somewhere about 50, 60 miles away from here that we had in our region. This was a 7.1, and so it really shook things. And this is in the disaster zone just a few months after the tsunami, and so those neighborhoods really had that worry and concern and fear, instant remembrance of what had just happened not too long ago. We were gathering in that little house for worship, and as that earthquake happened, everybody quickly leaves town. They try to get as far away from the coast as possible, afraid of another tsunami coming. Just a couple of blocks away is this big cliff. It's maybe 100 feet tall, and city and houses are up there as well. And so people in the neighborhood, if you can't drive out, you start climbing up this hill, and there's some steps, and people were going up there. Well, we were a group of internationals that were there working on this project. And so we scurried up the side of this cliff. We get to the top, and there on top is this Buddhist temple. Well, it's Sunday morning, and that's not their time to gather and worship. And it was basically empty. And so we found this nice little garden park right there in the midst. And so we sit down and just kind of waited out. And then somebody starts singing a song. And before long, we just entered in right into worship. And the songs started to draw the crowd of some of the neighbors coming around. And it was just such a magnificent memory of such a moment of fear and challenge. And then God just opens that up for an opportunity to bless so many. As we enter into worship, we really are here to recognize the greatness of God, right? I mean, our God is powerful, right? And our God did something that is beyond comprehension. In order to connect with us, in order for us to understand, and in order for us to have a way to be with Him, He sent His one and His only Son to live here on earth with us. That Son came in the form of a little baby. And we know that that baby Jesus grew to be a young man. We knew that that young boy grew to be a man. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says that Jesus grew. And He grew in wisdom, and He grew in stature, and He grew in favor with God and man. I want to challenge you this morning, as Jesus followers, as Christ followers, for us to see the opportunities to follow in the ways that He lived. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Your growth, your life is God prepared, that God has a vision and desire for who you are and what you can accomplish here in this life. And my life, my growth will be self-purposed. That means that I will set my mind on things above, that I will allow myself to be transformed, made more in His likeness so that I can accomplish the tasks that are before me. I will be purposeful. I will be diligent. I will make a choice to be a Christ follower. In Mark chapter 5, I want to share with you three stories. And again, Mark has this way of going so quickly between story after story after story that it almost feels redundant. It almost feels like we've already heard this enough. But he's laying the foundation about the greatness and the power of who Jesus is. I don't know if you've ever had this experience as you read Scripture and you see these events of Jesus Christ. And you recognize that He is not like me and you. We were looking at the story of Him being in this crowded house, and the roof is cut open and a man is dropped in front of Him. First off, that's a unique situation. Never happened to me. Has it happened to you? I'll take that as a no. And so then when this paralyzed man comes before Jesus, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And then so that you'll know that your sins are forgiven, rise and walk. I don't know that if I was in that situation, that I would be able to perform in the same manner. Jesus is the Son of God. He is instilled with great value and purpose and power that is different than you and I. And so sometimes when I look at the story of Jesus, I think those are great things that he did or that he could do. But this morning I want us to look at three stories, and they are examples of his great power. But you're also going to find three things that you can do as well, that you can add into your life, that you can really purposely put in your plan to be a Christ follower. Let me just take three broad strokes at this story, because here we're going to find a story of the man named Legion. He is infected. He has been empowered or overpowered by these demon spirits. And when Jesus has his interaction, who am I talking to? He says, we are Legion, for we are many. Jesus has this interaction with a father whose daughter is sick or dying. And Jesus has this interaction with this woman who has been bleeding for many, many years. She is without hope or opportunity of any help. But these interactions happen real quickly. I encourage you to go back and read Mark chapter 5 in its entirety. But start with me this morning in Mark chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 says this. When Jesus got back into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has shown mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Fast forward to the next story, Mark chapter 5, verse 22 through 24, it says, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And then jump to verse 33. Here's the final third story that takes place in the midst of Jairus' story. Mark chapter 5, verse 33 and 34 says, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I want us to notice three things in the story about who Jesus is and who he interacts with, how he deals with different people. Jesus comes, and first he finds this man named Legion, or he is overwhelmed with these evil spirits, these demons, and those then call themselves Legion. Jesus is either finding himself on a particular mission. We're not told why he goes over across the sea, but there he finds this man. Was this purposeful or was this a coincidental interaction? We don't know exactly for sure, but Jesus finds this man. This man has interaction with Jesus, and the first thing we see is these demons inside of him recognize who Jesus is. Their first words recognize the power and position of who Jesus is. They had the run of the land before he showed up, but now they are subservient. They are below him. And before they can do anything, they have to ask for his blessing and his power. I want us to recognize that we're talking about the Son of God. This is a powerful individual. Even the winds and the waves will obey Jesus. And the demon cries out and says, don't send us back into the lake, but send us over into those pigs. This is a region in which most Jews would not venture into. It is unclean and dirty. It has not been sanctified and made holy. It's not right. It's not following the rules and regulations of what they would deem as proper religious action. And Jesus finds himself in this position, dealing with people who may be like that prodigal son, who have wandered far off, who are living in a different way, a way that is ungodly as they've been taught and led. Number two, Jesus finds himself interacting with Jairus. He is the synagogue leader. These are the same leaders that he would have problems with just a few chapters before. In Mark chapter 1, we find that in the synagogue, this is where Jesus is casting out the demons. In Mark chapter 3, verse 1, this is where Jesus is healing the man with a shriveled hand. And there, in both cases, it is these religious leaders, these synagogue leaders, who are having trouble with Jesus. They see what he does. They see the following in the crowd that is pushing after Jesus, and they see their power and their position drifting away. And it's these that bring the story of who Jesus might be. Maybe Jesus is not really the Son of God, but maybe Jesus is empowered by Satan himself. Maybe Beelzebul is living in Jesus, and they are the ones who are pushing the crowd to retaliate and be an obstacle for Jesus. And Jesus deals with this woman. This woman. I mean, even in the story, in the retelling, she doesn't have a name. Even in the story, in the retelling, we don't know where she came from or where she was going or anything other than her affliction. She is just a woman. And probably by circumstance, by kind of infusing our own understanding of the situation, probably she was a woman without much means. She was low on the economic scale. She was probably low and without friends or much social network because of her medical conditions had kept her away from so many of the events and gatherings, the connections that most of us would take for granted each and every day. The story doesn't give us any indication about who she is or where she's from. There is no position, no power, no real authority in her life. She comes to Jesus in fear and hiding in the shadows. And Jesus still takes time to interact with her. Here's one who has wandered off. Here's one who might be a part of the opposition. Here's one with no position. Here's one with no social value. There's no gain in building a network or a relationship with this woman. I want you to notice who Jesus helps and interacts with. Now, their response is pretty special too. Because Jesus comes to this man named Legion as he's healed. He wants to go with Jesus. He wants to be a part of this band of brothers, this group that is going and proclaiming the greatness of God, things that he has just experienced. And Jesus says, no, I want you to return back home. And in Mark chapter 7, when Jesus returns back to the Decapolis, this region where this man was, we are given some sort of indication that possibly he was very successful in his endeavor, because it says there a great crowd kept coming to him. Perhaps he went back home and shared the great things that the Lord had done to him that day. And in fact, Jesus has this opportunity of 4,000 people are gathered around, and he has an opportunity to feed them in a special way there in this region. This woman is forced to come up out of the shadows, face her own fears, and Jesus then lifts her up to a place of importance and significance within everybody's view. He gives grace to this woman. He gives recognition to this woman. He gives blessing to this woman. It's the same thing that he would do to Zacchaeus when he was walking down, and Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and he sees Zacchaeus, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house. We are going to interact. We are going to be making a connection today. I see value in you. And Jesus sees that in the woman. He listens to her entire story. He calls her daughter. He heals her. And then as a final blessing, he says, go in peace, freedom, restoration. There's a story of Jairus as he's dealing with the anxiety and the worry of his own child getting sick and possibly passing. There he is in disbelief and wondering what this Messiah might do. The power that he's seen or he's heard about in the synagogue, but also the opposition that he knows about. And then he proclaims himself, he puts himself in this situation. And Jairus comes to the Lord. And as he's in this interaction with the Lord, as they are walking on their way back to his house, word comes that his daughter has died. I want you to notice what our Messiah does. He continues to walk with this man. He continues to stay with this man. And he provides comfort and care. Now there's a crowd that is following. There is this group of people who are interested enough to watch, but not engage. There are those that were watching Jesus as he deals with this demon-possessed man. And when they see his power, they come back to Jesus and say, "Would you please leave our midst? This is not something that we want to have in our lives." When Jesus comes to Jairus' house, this crowd sees Jesus and they laugh at what Jesus says that he will do. I want you to notice all of these bits and pieces in this story. Because the story of Jesus interacting with these three give us three opportunities for ourselves to be Christ followers. New, changed, growing into the likeness of who Jesus really is. I want you to notice how Jesus is dealing with Jairus. First, a father who is upset, wanting help for his child. Jesus sees this as caution, as go slow, as participating in this man's life. And I will, as a Christ follower, provide caution and care when people are anxious and hurting. Notice how Jesus, he could have just pronounced something. He could have just said, "Go in peace and your daughter will be healed." But he walks with them through these difficult moments. I wonder how many times our world, our life is going so fast that we are so quick to swipe a card or throw some bills or some change someone's way that we won't walk with them through the difficult moments of life. We barely can slow down to hear their cries and their pleas for help. But I, as a Christ follower, I want you to notice that. It's not just I as a good citizen. It's not just I with good moral character and value. It's I who want to resemble, I want to look like, I want to live like Christ. I will proceed with caution, with care, when I deal with people who are in anxious or hurting times. I don't know about you, but we are in the midst of anxious and hurting times. You can't throw a rock very far before you find somebody who is anxious and hurting. Would we, church, slow down for just a moment? Would we walk with those people and be Jesus in their midst? The second thing that I see Jesus do as he deals with this woman. Again, I have to call her this woman because we're given no more information about her. But Jesus stops. It wasn't on the itinerary. It wasn't on the schedule for the day. He was actually in the midst of going to help someone else, and another opportunity presents itself. For many of us, that would be called a busy full day, but Jesus stops in the middle of this, surrounded by this multitude, and he takes time not for the worries and concerns of the crowd, but for this woman. Not for just an instant, but Scripture says that she told him everything. And Jesus listens and participates in all that is going on. That I will stop and I will serve when opportunity presents itself. You may be going 90 to nothing in your life, but when there is an opportunity, when you see someone in need, when you know of a situation, I will be like Christ. And I will stop my agenda, my purpose, and I will participate. You may not have the power, the strength to call out and say, "When, stop," but you do have the opportunity to say, "Matt, stop. Name my life and I will stop and I will participate with you. I will stop and serve." And then third, as Jesus is dealing with this man who has been demon-possessed, his life has been transformed. He wants to participate. He wants to follow in Jesus' shadow, but Jesus sees that he has gifts and talents of his own, that God has purpose and plan for his own life. I will direct new acquaintances and old friends to live out their God-given talents. Each of you has been God-given with talents and gifts. There is something special about you that will make a difference in your world, with your family, and with your friends. that we cannot follow side by side in every step of our life. But God has given you the opportunity to make an influence and a difference in the places and the people that you interact with. And so as we see those opportunities, we will encourage others to take up their God-given gifts and talents to proclaim His greatness. And Jesus says, I want you to go home and I want you to tell the great things that the Lord has done for you. Jesus would tell His disciples that they are to go into all the world, sharing what God has done for them. This morning I want to ask you, are you going to be a Christ follower, or are you going to be a part of the crowd? The crowd is an observer. The crowd, in the case of the man with named Legion, they were repulsed by Jesus. In the case of Jairus, they just followed, maybe even laughed. But in the case of this man, he saw what the Lord had done, and he used his words. He took action, and it made a difference in many people's lives. This morning, I pray that you will get to know the power of Jesus in His miraculous ways. I pray this morning that you will get to know the power of Jesus in His personal ways, the ways that He takes time to interact with those within His world. This morning, I pray that you will be a Christ follower, not just a Christ observer. If there's anything that we can do to encourage you, to help you, to pray with you, our shepherds are here on hand and they would love to sit down with you and counsel you and encourage you. Our office is open throughout the week and we would love for you to come in and let us talk together, pray together, study together, and encourage us in our walk as Christ followers. If you want to start today as a new decision to put on Christ, our baptistry is ready. We can make that choice. We can make that happen this morning. This morning, I want to ask you, do you recognize the power of Jesus? And will you follow Him in that? Let's stand together and sing.
Lord, take my